It is Tuesday, so you know what that means. It is
the podcast day.
Quiet down before she talks too loudly.
Podcast day.
Is that the enthusiasm with which we're entering the podcast?
We are entering with enthuse.
I'm enthused.
I am starving right now, so that's why I'm running on the last little fumes of my belly.
I'm sorry, I
can't wait. Oh, really?
You want to start over? You want to keep it blasting their ears? It'll wake them up. We'll leave it. Yeah. We're gone.
Unfortunately, it was yours. That was loud.
Podcast day.
Okay. Wait, do the intros. Wait, do the music.
Do the intros.
Welcome to the Baking It Down with Sugar Cookie Marketing Podcast. If you're just tuning in for the first time, welcome. Me and Heather talk at an incredible speed. So you can either slow us down or speed us up.
I say speed us up. I say get this done in 10 minutes.
It sounds like Mickey Mouse.
There you go.
You're done.
If you have never heard of us before, we're actually a spinoff from a group on Facebook.
Facebook. Called the Sugar Cookie Marketing Group. Okay, you take it over.
But in that group, we're able to see a lot of the common questions or trends or things that people would like to discuss, because it is more of an open forum, mm-hmm. unless you ask a non-marketing question. Marketing.
Marketing.
It is definitely a closed forum. And today, Corey actually had a great idea. It is spring has sprung.
It is the first day of spring today. Did you
has
know?
Sprung.
Oh, it is.
March 19th. In the northern.
Happy first day of spring.
Welcome to you.
And happy first day of Christmas to Australia. But we have a list of spring cleaning tips. And I know you're like, this is not marketing. But in a way, cottage curb appeal is all about marketing. This is our storefront.
Our storefront, mm-hmm. our front of house mm-hmm. is our front yard.
And Corey was zhuzhing. You guys are crossword people? You're welcome.
It was ZH.
You. ZH. It was apparently a part of a very big crossword competition this week. But Corey was zhuzhing and had come up with a list of things, tips, a checklist of sorts of ways that you can curb appeal your yard. But also, there's a marketing component to it.
There is. But we'll talk about that later. Tell us about your little favorite restaurant that I don't like.
I love... I'm gonna say it like a white person that I am. I like pho. Huh. There you go. I can't say it right because that makes me sound like a poser. Yeah. I like pho. It's a Vietnamese noodle dish. Very wholesome. If you feel sick,
if you
go
feel
to a pho
sick,
restaurant,
it's almost like they're trying to make me like it.
I love
just
it.
Just couldn't. But it's just everything is baked in a soup dish.
Yeah, it's they a throw rice everything. Noodles.
There's a whole egg in there.
Bean sprouts. That's ramen. Okay.
Oh, what's the difference?
The country they come from.
The entire country of the people.
But Vietnamese is, if you have one near you, even if you have just one and go to it, I think you'll be surprised and get a pho dish with it. And it's just cut up chicken slices. The broth is what they live and die by.
Yeah.
So I like, you find the one that has a broth that you like, and then it is so hot, it cooks the meat, the rice noodles, and they add bean sprouts, and you can make it spicy. You don't have to make it spicy. And then there's onions. It's very good.
It's a whole meal on a soup.
But what's not good is the curb appeal of this restaurant. So if you have ever been to Northern Virginia and you unfortunately found yourself at the Springfield Interchange, it's the amassing of...
It's a cement parking lot. There's that one.
It is the
grass.
Ugliest. It is the ugliest part of Northern
Virginia. It's because
Virginia.
It's been paved so much.
I want to tell you, they were like, we need four interstates to meet at a location. And around the interstate where they're held into the ground, they put some stuff. Some people live there. It is ugly. But the interstates have been expanded to include express lanes. And underneath this wire of cement is this restaurant that I like to do, this faux place. And it is my favorite broth. The guy that owns it, I think it's been there since we were very little kids. Yeah. I think it's been there for over 30 years. It's just delicious. I just love the food. But the restaurant is disgusting.
It is gross. I'm just going to say when Heather invited me to it as an outsider.
It wasn't my best move to put her to that one.
It just, the heat, it hasn't been cleaned for the 30 years.
Uh-uh.
The outside, I would have thought it was an abandoned building.
Uh-huh.
You know, like when you have like...
It is a trust the process.
When you have menus and they've been baked by the sun.
Where all the colors of everything is faded. Where you taped up stuff and then the paper is long since gone, but the tape resigns.
Yes.
With residue.
That is what this place is. If it was me on my own, I would not have gone.
I'll let you know, on your way to the bathrooms at this restaurant, which also haven't been cleaned, is all the supplies that sit at your table. And I watched them, sriracha sauce, they're spooning it from a big vat. And the word vat, I don't think the customer should see the vat. I don't think that. We know the vats are there. We don't want to see
our
And you can, okay, whatever. The restaurant is just, it has great food. And I think that's
what say I then want an airbender.
Yeah, it did foe a disservice. Anyways, that applies the same concept of brick and mortars to cottage home bakeries. Your storefront is
your front lawn,
the faux place. if you have people come in, and here's what people assume, and I hate to generalize here, but if your front yard is disgusting, and I think the kitchen is too, never do you go into a hoarder's house and then think that the kitchen is exceptionally clean.
Yeah.
You think that the curtains match the doors.
Here's my thing is, I have to assume, I usually like to meet people at the door.
Mm-hmm.
I have to assume some people are so
nosy that we're peeping around
and welcomey that they step in. Uh-huh. They step into the front
room. Whoa, Nelly, back it up.
But I have to be like, I have to be prepared for that, because if they do step in there and it's like a fire hazard waiting to happen, they're going to make assumptions about me.
Absolutely. And I think they have every right to.
Absolutely.
If you're going to be vatting things in front of us, I'm going to be thinking there's
Or if I'm like, excuse the mess. I never want to say those words because it's
not going to be excused. It's going to be lodged back there in the file cabinet.
Here's the thing. You can run your business any way you want. That's the great thing about being a business owner. If you are charging top dollar,
this is a part of the package.
It is a part of that final package. From the first words you say to them when they make that order inquiry to the moment the box leaves your hands and gets in theirs, every step along the way has to be that five-star experience.
We can't have a Bodabra box without a Bodabra
presentation. Yeah. So here's the thing. I live in a tiny townhouse. My yard is not big, but I have the best looking yard in all of our little townhouses. Like, people are coming to me asking me what I did. I said, did you see
I tried.
Last year when I sat and picked every weed by hand.
Yeah. So you're going to say, well, I think they're just going to tell us to mow my lawn. Yeah, we are. But I want to tell you at the end of the day that it all comes back to like a marketing component. And it's a part of the brand that you want to put out. Yeah. Here's a funny thing. I am pretty clean, right? Would you say so?
More than me.
But sometimes I have a blind spot. So in my old apartment, I had Corey come and I said, listen, this is as clean as I think it should be. Can you come down fresh eyes, bright eyed, bushy tailed, and tell me what's dirty? And she's like, that knife block is covered in a layer of dust from your paper towels being above it. I said, oh my goodness, I didn't see that.
We get blind to it. So you almost have to step outside. This is that.
This is us stepping outside of you guys and telling you to mow your lawn. Yeah. But there is a list. So we'll go through it. You started off pretty strong with pre-seed and aerate.
Okay. Listen.
Hey, well, they're low. I didn't see you walk in here.
Listen. I did it on my own. So it costed me $0, except for the seed, which you can get. Well, Target sells it.
We have two lists. One's a free one and one's a paid one. Yes. I should have pre-seed. Let's hope we have some seed over from last year.
I did have some seed. So I did, instead of hiring someone with an aerator machine, if you've seen those.
They're huge.
I have a one-person aerator stick.
Like you just stab poke in the
holes.
Ground.
Yeah. You should have seen me. My back was aching. But I poked holes because your grass needs oxygen, just like your sourdough starter.
You wouldn't know that. You killed yours this morning.
Listen. We're trying to revive them.
So pre-seed and aerate. So you'd recommend we just start there?
Because right now, with the weather being so up and down, it was cold this morning.
Yes.
It's not necessarily the time to plant things because they will die.
Okay.
But it is the time to aerate and seed your lawn. So it can take root at the, like when we get those warm days, you want those little buggers to take root.
I like that. And here we didn't know your thumb was green this whole time.
Listen, my grass looks green.
Moving on, you have weed.
Okay. Just like your sourdough starter needs oxygen.
No, you're just trying to.
I'm in my sourdough era. Weeds take so much from your grass.
They thrive. So if one must thrive, one must die.
One must die. So I handpick my weeds. Mm. Go through there, pick them out from the roots.
The weeds probably like, I know I must die, but thank you for making it. So one-on-one.
When we first moved in this house 2 years ago, it was more just like of a weed field and no grass. So I spent probably 8 hours total hand-picking the weeds.
How many weeds did you have in that tiny yard?
I told you, the whole thing was a weed. And then over the past 2 years, it has now become
grass. It is a long game.
It is.
Sidebar with marketing. You know, Roundup had a chemical in it that led to cancer. Roundup's branding was so effective that even though it caused cancer because it was so effective at killing weeds, they did not rebrand it. So you can get Roundup still today. It just misses that one chemical that actually worked because people are so ingrained that Roundup truly did kill weeds. It just killed everybody else too.
Yeah, I handpicked them.
Okay.
I didn't want to kill my grass with them.
Now, this is a good one. And this is one I feel like people get a little blinded to. The dead leaves that have created a little cottage in the corner of your cement.
So, you're right. I had to go through, like, my little sidewalks. Uh-huh. There's a little, like, where the stairs are.
It's because they're brown. You're like, brown dirt, brown match.
It was annoying, and this took all of my Sunday. But to get the dead leaves out of the little corns, out of your lawn, there was, for some odd reason, a whole, even though my lawn is tiny, it was a whole, trash can full of leaves I got out of it.
Yeah, they tuck themselves in. It is hard to, if you see a bush that has leaves on under it, welcome to a whole bag of dead leaves.
I know. How are they just,
I don't know. It's like because they're puffy, one, the other one gets
puffy,
out.
Like, so they were like not stacking up on each other.
They're like the Jesus bread of dead leaves.
Also, when you're going through your lawn, some of the leaves over the winter have gone slulled into the bottom where your grass seed would need to go.
Yeah, it creates a little shield over the dirt.
A shield over dirt. The problem is it retains water, which is a root killer for your...
Also not letting sun reach the dirt.
Not sun, not oxygen. So you honestly need to get in there and get those little...
So the first things you can do is purge the lawn. Get rid of weeds. Get rid
of your leaves.
And reseed.
Yeah, because then getting rid of the weeds and leaves is going to allow the seed to get to the soil. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need.
I like that. You don't have fertilizer here. Is it too early?
It is too, I wouldn't do fertilizer now. But when you get seeds, a lot of times it comes with fertilizer.
Okay. You have prune your bushes.
Yeah. Bushes have gotten out of control over the winter. They're blooming.
You can get a little hand cut shear if you don't have one. Yeah.
And I will get a blister every
year. I bought a shear. It had really long arms and it allowed you to kind of, you know, like a breaker bar.
Yeah.
You can use your whole body. Say what you can use your whole body. That really helped.
Like it's a long.
It's an annual labor one. But yeah, you know, if you're really short and you're trying to take on a big old branch, you're not going to win. Right? You don't have the grip strength. This is mine. I think this is one we become pretty blind to. Sun bleached yard paraphernalia.
Yeah,
the sun fades a lot of stuff. Nothing says that company has invested in their marketing like a faded delivery truck.
Yeah.
But toss your faded yard flags, doormats, and wreaths.
And I will say, for people like, this is costing money, Hobby Lobby, dirt cheap, little.
And we're getting
yard
to the pay side. Do not jump.
Oh.
We're just cleansing.
Oh, toss,
we're just cleansing.
Your wreaths, especially if they face the sun most of the day.
Especially if there's spiders in them.
Especially if, you know, my husband walks by our wreath every day. And I don't know why his shoulder aims for the wreath, but he takes a part of the wreath every time. So, like, there's barren spots in the wreath.
Oh.
Because when he walks by it, he takes half of the little buds.
It's like to be tall.
Yeah, right.
But I will say that wreaths just do get baked by the sun. But, and they're spiders' favorite.
I do like wreaths because it brings a little pop of color. Uh-huh. So I asked my mom, who's really good at colors, what colors would make the house pop, and she said yellow. So I have a yellow yard flag and a yellow wreath.
Nice.
And I just ordered a yellow.
Corey, you have 2x2 of your yard. Corey is going to be a Disney princess, whether you like it or not. Okay, clean off your windows. I think this one's a pain in the butt.
If you have a dog like I, there is a little.
If you have windows
smudge.
Like I, oh yeah, if the little animal nose schnoz.
Because my dog's a bulldog.
You could literally see how your animal grows by its schnoz marks.
My dog's a bulldog, so everything is in his snout is so much shorter. Uh-huh. So when he tries to look out, he puts his nose against the window.
I think he puts his nose, eyes, and lips.
When he does, it gets like, you know where you get the...
Breath. The raptors of so Jurassic Park. So clean off your windows. At least the windows, and this is what Corey said. We are nosy creatures as humans, and apparently Ray the dog. We like to look in and out of places wherever the eyes of a client can reach when they come to the door or step over the threshold. That's what you got to address here. I don't care if you don't like cleaning. Who cares? Don't clean your upstairs. Don't clean your basement. But clean where the client can see it. And that's going to be windows at our yard level.
Yeah.
And it's definitely going to be, if you have a glass screen door, that's going to be a major one.
My husband was in our kitchen. He said, why do you have some boxes piled at such a triangle?
No, I'm sorry. Table? I went to Corey's house. You walk in, you're like, this is really clean and organized. She even has like these spikes on the furniture so the cat can't sit on.
Yeah.
Then you walk into the kitchen, like, this is very clean. Outside, where your eyeball doesn't look all the way, there's boxes just out of the line of sight where that wall would hide them. And she does it on purpose so that the person picking up their order can't see this hidden hoard there.
Her people are like, can't believe you do that to your cat. I've given the cat one whole chair. She has a whole chair just to herself. The other chairs are not for her.
I still see her sitting on the top.
I know she does.
Okay, back to this. So if you, out of sight, if it's out of sight and you can hide it, great. It just, you want to make sure if the client walks in, are they going to see it? If so, you got to address it. Right? Clean off your windows, clean off the crevices where spiders are, spider webs, cobwebs, things like that.
I'm like, how did that cobweb form? So I got one of those long swippers that's extended. Yeah. That's one around the top.
I have a policy, right? I'm sorry. Clean off the spider webs. I do have this policy. If the spider's outside, I'm in his domain. Live your life. If the spider's inside, unfortunately, you're in my domain. So I got to squishle you. I love that a spider kills another bug, but we got to have a little boundary here. However, when, I don't know, spiders work harder than anybody in this world.
And they work
to make
in the quietness when no one's there.
And then the dust collects in their webs.
Yeah.
And you don't have to kill a spider. You just got to be like.
What's the difference between a spider web and a cobweb?
I would like to say that the cobweb is from the spooky Halloween time.
There is no difference. One just has a lot of lint
one's
on it.
Thicker. You just tell the spider, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Yeah. Like, you can clean out the spider webs. They are the ones that I feel, spider webs, I feel like the ones that you forget you see.
Yes.
One, I don't like making eye contact with eight eyes. But then that cobweb is collecting dirt and it screams this person does not clean.
And if you burn candles like I do religiously.
Oh, yeah. They get in the spider webs.
It does. It like turns the cobwebby a little darker so you can really see.
There goes,
right, following.
There goes the Mr. Clean Pass. Corey has this one. Edging.
Edging your yard. If you have I'm just going to say, I have done a lot of yard research. Uh-huh. If your yard washes away every time it rains, you need a good edge. A good edge can direct
water
the water.
Management?
It does help with water management.
It's also, I'll tell you, the elite yards when I go on a walk are the ones that have the space between the sidewalk
and
the grass.
I'm trying to get that. My grass is grass.
You know, once I was on a walk, just this was years ago, but it stuck with me. And a man had a kitchen spoon. And he was digging it out. And I said, that is commitment. He's like, it makes it thick enough.
It does.
That is a rough one. Like, it is hard to get that. There's machine. Like, you could rent them from Home Depot to.
I would.
Because you'd almost have to start somewhere, and then start
you
building it.
You need something
up.
To cut it back.
Yeah, that's what that thing does, and it edges
my. There's a few houses down. They have a really good edge.
Oh.
Like, that looks good.
It really looks professional. You know, like, when grass kind of grows over the sidewalk, and you're like, oh, I need a line of demarcation here. So that would be an elite, the little space
it
between
would,
the grass. Power washing the stoop.
Okay. This does cost money. We're in the money side now, right?
No, I haven't gotten there yet. This is an assumption that somebody has a power washer.
Okay. I don't have a power washer, but I don't want to store one. But I did hire some cheap labor, my cousin.
Oh, he came
out? Yeah. To come out, and it looks so much better. So I did it last year. It still looks good this year. Maybe I did it 2 years ago.
It still looks great.
But I think that is good. And I do see some people have the machinery at their house.
This is going to be one. I'm going to say, if you have the funds to hire it out, do. What happens when you get the hairy homeowner? They do the lines.
And then
yeah.
you can see you're like, they got bored and they're just smiling.
Yes. There's just, you can see like, you're like, it was all wet when you were cleaning. When you dried, you didn't realize you didn't get much of it. There's a strategy to power washing. I don't know what it is. Power washing the stoop would be great, especially if you had old pots. That stained cement. Nothing says ew.
A little rust on there if you left something that was.
I think
metal.
The power should really give you a great
absolutely.
Restart.
Plus, if you have any overshadowing, that's like you know where that kind of mold growth can happen just because it never gets dry because you have like plants are there.
Absolutely, man.
That will dry right up. It's great.
Here's the next one. I actually wrote this one. I worked for a company. And I was impressed. They got mad at everybody. They got mad constantly. That company was like, rah, rah. Like, their every team meeting, nobody wanted to go to because we were just going to sit in the firing line and get in trouble. But he was like, listen, if you have a company car, you need to wash it.
My husband, cop. They are required to have a clean car.
It makes a difference. So if you can have the cleanest house in the world, and if you got a hunk of junk out front, I think it still reflects back into what's going on in that
house.
Like,
you know, like when you pass by a car and it's got like McDonald's, like in the front.
When I see a car with trash in the windshield, I am looking in the back and the front and hoping nobody's there. But I want to see what's going on.
But it is good if your cars are right out front. Unfortunately, mine are two spots over because of the way the houses are. So my neighbors are out
front. You say, can I wash your car first?
You need to wash your car, guys.
Can I wash it for you? But washing your car, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to get it detailed. But just cleaning off the car, making sure that there's no trash visible. Tire shine never hurt nobody. That's all I'm saying.
If you went to like a little pumpkin patch and your car got stuck back last fall and you got a little mud up there where your tire spotted.
I
want
to let you guys know you're allowed. Turns out, who knew? You're allowed to wash the cars. You're allowed to get them wet.
It just is a part of that 1% to be, if you're wanting to charge the prices, you got to act the act.
Here's my weird theory. Maybe this will offend people, but I think your car is an extension of your brain.
I'm just kidding. Mine was an accident. It's a train wreck in there.
So I think that, you know, if I walked up to this really well-kept house and the car just caked in mud and dirt, I'd be like, oh. I know some of you guys live down dirt roads and you're fighting a different battle than us. But for the rest of us, on a pickup day, okay, yeah, you can wash it. Yeah, you know it's going to get dirty, but you can wash it, get some of the salt from the window.
Yeah,
and that will add to that whole, wow, this is a very nice feeling.
Yeah.
Here's a funny thing. I know at that Vietnamese restaurant, I know what the owner drives because it's always there when he's there. Be stunningly well-kept Mercedes SUV.
Oh, wow.
I'd be like, what happened to the rest of it? Like, what happened to the rest of your building? That Mercedes is stunning. And I know that how much you charge for this bowl of soup.
Yes.
That's what's paying your bills. But clean out the rest, buddy.
Or you could be like me. I have two spots that are designated. Mm-hmm. So when it is like a pre-sale pickup day.
Get rid of the car.
I get rid of the car.
That, hey, if you guys don't want to clean your cars, get rid of them. Hide
and
them.
Then I say, you park in my spot.
That's a nice idea. That is a nice idea. Do you send pictures of your front?
I have.
That's nice.
When it's pristine.
Yeah, so here's what I say, and this is what I do for pickups when Corey makes me do them for her. I take a picture on the prettiest day that my house looks. Move the cars out of the way. And then send that in every pickup day. Say, here's a picture of the house that you're going
to
be looking
for. It's so much, like, remember when we went to the bread baking last? Mm-hmm. It was so hard, because she was in a townhouse too, very nice. It was so hard to find out which house was her, and it was pouring the rain.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, which house is it? Because it was raining, we didn't know where to go. It's just good to alleviate any anxiety.
Uh-huh. Also, my eyes are not working as they did. This is where I'm feeling my age the most, is in how far I can see far away. Which I can't, right? I cannot see. You'd have to be like, hello. And I'm like, oh, there's you. When you don't – I had to go to a house the other day, and I could not see the zip code.
Yeah.
And – what was the number that comes? The house number? Yeah, because it was so far away. So I know in some residential areas you're allowed to paint it on the sidewalk. That's so handy when people do that. I know it's meant for the firefighters, but also for the blind people. So – that would be a nice one. Then you have organized garden tools like your hoses.
Yeah, instead of just leaving them out and about, it's so easy to use your hose. You did your good. You watered your grass. And then just let that hose sit out there and create a little line of death in your grass.
That's going to kill your grass, buddy. It's going to kill your grass.
I do like to just think of, if I approach this house, would I want to see this?
Mm-hmm.
So I just roll it up. Mm-hmm. After I have it, it's rolled. I'm not necessarily taking it out back so you can't see it, but it's in a nice spot. So it's ready for me to use when I need it, but it's nice and put away when I don't.
Mm, so I don't want to say, like, if you could put on the glasses of, if I had to list this house tomorrow, what would the front of it look like? That's going to be the ideal bet for keeping your curb appeal.
Yeah.
Because like, I'm going to think, and I can't help it, we're just humans. Whatever your front of your house looks like, your kitchen's going to look the same in my head.
Yeah, you can't help it. I was walking by a house and it was very nice. It was for sale. What would I need to do on that there mailbox?
Okay.
You have your numbers on there.
Yes.
They were so tarnished you couldn't see them.
I mean, that's one of those blind things where you're like, I haven't seen it because I see it so often and now
it would be good to almost replace it with something.
A real estate agent would come in and say like, let's change those numbers.
Yeah. If you are making them park on the curb because it's easier. Like, I have two spots you can't necessarily park on the curb. But if you're in a single family home and they're parking the curb, if you have a blower, blow out those pine needles, blow out those leaves. So when they step out.
That's part of it, man.
One, they're not going to – it's not a slipping hazard, you know, because all those brush leaves, everything from the winter, just blow those out and just give them a nice little – walk towards the house.
Now, I know Corey and I are talking about like townhomes, but for you people with garages, that don't have doors, so what are they called? Carports?
Yeah.
Clean it out, Barty. Clean it out. If you don't need it, donate it. Nothing has set me free like the buy nothing, sell nothing groups.
Really? Yeah.
To let, you know, hey, listen, if you're not using it, buddy.
Let go.
Let it it go. So those carports, you know, the people who have garage doors, we know
right. You're hiding your sins. So you have them some grace.
But the carport people, I feel bad for you, but clean that out too, because the more junked up that looks, the more people are going to be like, ooh.
I know.
This is all like, you're like, I thought this was a marketing podcast. This is a part of it. It's a weird part of it. But here's actually a marketing tip. Now this, we're moving over into the paid. It takes money to make money, right? So unfortunately, this isn't completely free. So here's our paid tips. So things that you actually have to expend to zhuzh up the front. Corey starts with replace your mulch. I like this one. It smells disgusting, but happy. They're remulching all of Northern Virginia.
I know.
It smells wretched, but it looks so good.
So I did that, which cleared out my flower beds, right? That took forever.
But so do you throw away old mulch? Is that what we did with it?
I put it back.
You recycle or whatever?
Yeah, I put it in the woods.
Oh,
I felt like where it came from, I could go back.
You're back with your mom.
And then I put new mulch out. And it just made it pop.
You got to weed first though, right?
Well, so if you have that in your flower beds, sure. Yeah. But like I had a lot of old
question,
leaves.
Do you add the flowers first before the mulch or after the mulch?
You want to add the mulch after.
Oh, so you were going to add flowers, it's a little cold right now to be.
Yeah, you wouldn't want
to. Walmart's plant section is through the roof. Like, there's so many plants ready to buy.
I have, what is those that never die that are always there?
Pansies?
No, it's like these little green guys. I didn't want flowers because I didn't want to try to keep them alive all the time.
So but I'll say a little pop of color, whether it's green, whether it's a pansy, something that really says, wow, happy homeowner.
I do potted plants by the door.
Oh, that's a nice one. Oh, that'd be a nice little pop of color without having
to
really
invest.
Okay, so a potted plant would be nice.
It's just a little early for them.
I know.
But I got my potting soil ready to go. So I have to take out the others.
Or geraniums. Those last a while.
I don't think they are. I think they're later in the summer. Annual.
Okay. Paid, if you have kids, get a toy chest to clean up on pickup days. Just something where you can get organized together.
Yeah.
I was saying when we went to the bread class, those kids are living their best life. There was toys absolutely everywhere. It would have been nice to have them all in just a container just for that hour.
Yeah.
It turned out to be 2.5 hours.
And sometimes I know that it is hard, but you can throw them over the deck into the backyard.
The kids. Just kidding. The kids' toys.
For an hour. Let me go to town out back.
So if you can just, I know kids just explode wherever they go. And if you could just put it in a toy chest just for the hour.
It's just easier. It'll keep it easier for you just having a little chest.
Sometimes I think when we think, I'm going to organize, we go too far.
And
we
get too deep. Overwhelming.
It's overwhelming. Yeah. So something to just be like, get this out of the way. Uh-huh. If I looked into a house and all the toys were in toy chests, I'd be like, that's a clean house.
Right.
Add a sign for cookie pickups. Now, Corey has Etsy. Here is for the next set of these tips, we're going to say, ask for this stuff in community groups. Now, here's the little sales pitch. Yeah. This is what it's going to be like. Hey, XYZ community group. I often have people pick up their cookie orders from my doorstep, so I need to spruce it up a bit. I'm looking for a small business to do XYZ.
Yeah.
Now, that is a subtle sales post. What it does is it allows you to ask a question in a community group. You are actually looking for an answer, and you will hire one of these people, and you will come back and write them a review in the community.
So I did that this past week.
Okay.
Carpet cleaning.
Corey wanted carpet cleaning. It's the community group you run.
Yeah.
So she goes to the community group, says, I need to get carpets cleaned, and does anyone have any recommendations? And then you take someone's recommendation. How many people did you call? You just call the first one.
I ended up just calling the first one.
So Corey called the first one. It's this just nicest 20-year-old guy that's starting right? So Corey says to him, and this you don't have to do. It was extra, but it is nice. She said, hey, I'm going to make one of these. If you've seen our Sugar Cookie Marketing Instagram, Corey makes reels reviewing products. Same vibe, but this poor carpet cleaner.
So I said, hey, this is going to be creepy. So I'm going to film you, but not in a creepy way. I said, I want to make you money. So I'm going to make a video about you, post you everywhere. And I said, you just have to say yes or no.
But this dude, like, rose. He was like, I will earn this Grammy. I will get this.
So good.
So he's, like, vacuuming. He's showing. And then he goes out of his way to, like, clean above and beyond. Yeah. But he really did a great job. And he was very cost motivated. Like, he was very affordable.
It was very affordable. Fit me in the same week. And I include all these things in the
little
video.
You guys do not have to film somebody. No. But a picture of the before and after of the carpets, which you took.
Which I did.
And we're able to go back to the community group, say, hey, thank you at Sally for recommending at Carpet Cleaner.
Yeah.
Frank came by. Here's it before and after. And I think he even said, I hate to admit that this is what my carpets looked like before, but I'd love to show you what they looked like after. What we're able to do, and this is the marketing component, is you're able to say, and you're not directly selling. So you're saying, I have people pick up their cookies. That's as far as we get to the cookies. And then you're going to choose from the recommendations. Find a local business. Do not call a big brand.
Yeah.
That's not going to help us here, right? So if Home Depot has carpet cleaners, I would recommend finding this small business that is really trying to start out. And then take a before and after picture of the things that they did. Uh-huh. Go back to that group. Tag all the appropriate people, give credit, say, I would even go as far as, this is why I love at community group. Thank you so much at admin for running this. And I would like to thank Sally for recommending this business. Yeah. Like, you are giving credit. You are giving your acceptance speech here in these community groups. And what you're going to be able to do this is you're going to be able to do this multiple times with the next few tips.
Absolutely.
This is a marketing strategy. So you said these cookie pickup signs. Now, I see them. People post them in the group a lot. They're like long boards that say, pick up your cookies.
There's those. There's so many different types. Like, you can have a yard flag one. And yard I think it's cute. But you can ask in your local community group, because a lot of times you have people who love those hobbies.
Woodworkers who like to do the painting. Yeah. That would be great. So you can basically, you could actually go to Sugar Cookie Marketing Group, say, let me see your cookie pickup signs.
Yeah.
And then take some of those pictures and take it to the community group and say, can anyone recreate this?
Absolutely. And it'll say cookie on it.
I mean, if we're not talking about subliminal advertising,
I know.
I don't know what we're doing. You have carpets cleaned from DoorView. So this is along the lines of why you hired the guy. But getting your carpets cleaned, again, paid. But again, asking the community group for these carpet cleaners who want a little bit of exposure. A lot of times they are a little bit cheaper as well.
They are, and you're investing back into your community. Mm-hmm. So the money that you make, you're giving back right to it.
When Corey posted the video of the guy that was cleaning, didn't he immediately book another order? But it's so funny. You can't take off the marketing hat, right, once it's on. Corey says to the guy, listen, I want to post this for you, but you haven't posted to Facebook in over a year. I can guarantee you, in this female community group, they're all going to go to that page to see if you post it. Immediately, he runs home and posts.
Then he shared my video. He said, from another.
Good job, man. He listened and he's going to make money from it. You have the power washer. If you do not have a power washer and your cousin doesn't have a power washer, ask in the community group for that as well. That's another great one. Take that before photo. We're going to confess our sins. We're going to take that before photo. You can do your yard stuff first.
Listen, if you have an Eduardo, print their logo.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And listen, you might be able to reach their audience.
Oh, that's a great idea. If you could get the power washer and the carpet cleaner guy to stand with a picture of their cookie with their logo and tie that. Talk about going behind the rules. when we go back to the community group, assuming that the service was good and stuff, you're going to not make it about you. Yeah. You're going to make it about them. The subtleties of it is like, this will be so great when people come to pick up their orders. You're going to barely reference it. We don't want to offend the admins, but we do want to add value back. And you can
that
do
is
that.
Very valuable, especially if you got the recommendation from in that group.
Just the whole concept of it is delicious.
Circle of life right there.
It is. The circle of leads. Corey says doormats. Now, there you can actually ask in community groups for doormats. I know you got a doormat from.
I got a doormat made, and it says probably baking cookies. Went a little viral. Y'all ordered them, but it was a great way to invest back into the community. Stay-at-home mom, she was making the doormats at the time. But you can also, if you're like, I don't want to spend. I think it was around $36 for that one. Hobby Lobby has super cheap ones.
Yeah, I saw like Facebook is now recommending posts in public groups.
Yeah.
And so it was the Aldi group.
Yeah.
You know, if you guys don't have Aldi's, I think they're like grocery stores, and in the center is just random stuff.
Yeah.
You can't want anything. It has to find you. But there was this doormat, and it was said, always believing, but it was spaced out. So it always be leaving.
Always.
It was like, go away.
I will say, if you could get a themed doormat, like
something about
cookie pickup, that when you share it in the community group,
that's
you're
very
not
nice.
Violating the rules.
Yeah, to say, look at the before and after my power washing, and then your mat said cookie pickup here.
Yeah, or that sign says cookie pickup.
And then if you could get someone to make that mat, which there's a lot of crafty people that are doing hobbies. You almost have to ask for them. Sometimes they don't make their sale post. I would say, even if you know somebody that does this, ask in the group, because one, you make a new post.
Uh-huh.
Two, you get to find a lot of resources.
Yeah.
And then three, you get to kind of tag back to that person that we know wants
it. If you're cheap like I am, unfortunately, my front door does not have an overhang, like a little awning or anything. Yeah. So when it rains,
it pours.
It pours right onto my little doormat. So they're half-lifed, because it doesn't have any shade from the sun. But you can actually go to Michael's and get the paint yourself. So when it's
when I feel like I just
matte paint.
Uh-huh. Okay. And then I'll go over it again. So with that probably baking cookies matte, I was able to go over where it had kind of worn off, where you can tell my husband steps in the same spot every time he leaves.
Nate's having a battle getting into his house.
He's killing my front crew reveal. You can kind of give it a second life. You can also brush them with a broom, and that's how you get the little extra pieces out so it doesn't look so frayed.
What's the lifespan on a mat? I know it's not forever.
It depends how you can keep it.
If I want to say, guys, if your mat looks well loved, give it a new home.
I probably get a new mat twice a year.
Okay. But yeah, it's going to depend a lot on weather. If your mat's staining your thing, you're going to have to power wash it. That's always frustrating. But wreaths. So again, community groups love them, some wreaths.
Yeah.
And they're very cute and they're very fun and they're very themed and you can work this whole group thing yet again.
Yeah.
You could make a single post and be like, I need a power washer, I need a mulcher, I need a mulcher. But I would say break these up into separate things and just, wow, you're going to, one, add a lot of value to the community group.
You can have double the amount of exposure. Mm-hmm. By doing it in a single post and a single thank you for each one.
Yeah. And I know some of you are going to be like, my cookie business needs, like, don't make it about you.
Yeah.
We're going to subtly make it about you, but we're going to more make it about the group and the people in the group that provide services.
Yeah.
In the group.
And the more times people see your name,
they're going to say, you're going to get is a top contributor badge. And I love if you admin any kind of group and you see a top contributor break a rule. I had to think twice before I enforce a rule because I'm like, they're top contributor. Oh, they're really adding value here. In Corey's community group, we're running a top engager. So all groups, if you run any of them on Facebook, it reports to you the most active members, the top 10, and it tells you what they've been up to, and it refreshes every 28 days. So I said, hey, whoever's at the top of this list and the 28th day, they get $100 to like a popular grocery store we have here. And it's really helped because this one lady's like in second place. She's starting to write every comment as just five comments, which I'm like, hey, that helps.
Yeah.
So then we have, you have this one, replace broken blinds. I know, especially in houses that are like rentable.
Yeah.
Rentable. They have those blinds that break so easily. Animals are doing
number.
If you
have a cat that likes to be nosy, a dog that jumps, they can tear up those blinds pretty easily.
Yeah. So either take them off, which I don't think you'd want to do, or replace them.
Yeah, you can replace single ones, depending on.
Oh, the single band is
broken? I think you can replace single bands.
Well, that'd be nice. Yeah, I would say that a broken blind, even though an animal did it and everyone understands, well, that's just animals. We're not focused on what everyone will forgive. We're trying to make that Bodabra vibe when you come to pick up your cookies. So replacing the blinds. But again, for all these services, and this, and then we'll end on this list of things you already knew you needed to do. But we're telling you to. You can take it back to these community groups, and that's where the marketing aspect of zhuzhing up your curb appeal can really kind of facilitate making more sales. Right. Not just for the fact that you don't want to be the faux place that I still go to, but nobody will go with me now. You want to be able to have people say, well, I just really – and that's where everyone's like, well, there's my market's so saturated. I can guarantee you this is going to separate you from the others.
Yeah.
This is going to be the subtle, small change, the difference that people are like, I like that experience a lot better.
At the end of the day, we're all shopping from the same big name cutter shops with whatever's trendy. So our cookies are always going to look similar because we're all shopping from the same spot.
So we can compete on price, which you're never going to see us say to do, or we can compete on packaging. And this is a part of that.
When customers come over, my husband always knows someone's coming for a pickup. All the lights are on.
I would just love to see Nate in his day to day, man.
All the lights are on. I want the house to be well lit. I don't want you to feel like you're creeping in on my home life. Like, hey.
Do you see the TikTok trend where they say the big lights are for hospitals and they turn on a bunch of these ambient small lights like you get on Amazon? Like, you know, if you get white lights in a house, yes, you are able to see every spider that ever existed, but it looks so harsh.
Yeah.
So they turn on these ambient lights, candles or candle warmers is a big thing. And then they kind of create an ambiance. Corey and I went to Bath & Body Works. Hello. And I want to let you know, if you saw us in there, you'd be like, who are these idiots? We're walking around the white farm.
What do you think of this
table? Close your eyes. What do you smell when you smell? I think, what did you end up with, espresso and vanilla?
It was lavender and that coffee.
Espresso.
Yeah, espresso.
So we thought that one was, like, Corey likes the candles that smell like baking because people are always like, wow, are you baking?
No, everyone who comes to my house is like, your house smells amazing. And it's because I know they're coming. I can light the candle.
And if you have pets or kids and you don't want candles, those candle warmers, Ruthann is just in love with them. So I actually have the candle warmer. Ruthann is 85. Yeah. I put it on a timer. You would have thought I had magician hands. Cam's just like, how does it turn on and turn off and know what to do? And I love coming downstairs to it. So I'm able to conserve a little bit of energy and still have that thing. My theory is that if you melt a candle, it doesn't last as long.
I don't think so.
But if you had it just for the hour for pickups, yeah. I think it's a great deal and it adds a nice little ambient light.
In just so you know, I do take the little spikies away if someone's coming to pick up
the spikies on the chair that the cat suffers from. Does the cat sit on the spikes?
No. But she'll walk around, no. It's pointless.
Rooster.
Yeah.
Rubber Kansas. Corey's divorced cat and never has passed away.
I love her.
Unlike her marriage. Here's some texts. Hey, twins. Thank you for the Meta Shutdown podcast. I have been slowly applying what I have been learning in your podcast to my business, but I have an odd question. I started my business 2 years ago and have learned a lot. I've noticed that when I go back to my first few months of posts, there's little value, poor pictures, posts that don't apply, and so on. Would you advise that that those posts on Instagram and Facebook be deleted? Here I'm going to say, not on Facebook.
No.
Unless there's something where you're like, this is appalling and I can't believe I posted that. Nobody's scrolling that. We don't have enough time in our day to ever go back and research
that far.
2 years ago.
Especially if you have 2 years of content, I promise you no one's going back that far.
Now, Instagram has the aesthetic feed.
So if you see someone's post on Instagram, it's so much easier to click to their feed and scroll down to the bottom real fast. But you don't have to delete them. You can actually archive them and then give yourself time. Like, do I want this? Do I not want this?
Right.
At the end of the day, you want to put your best foot forward. And if it's not going to make your feed like chop it in half, yeah, you can archive them.
Yeah, if you follow our posting, a recommended posting schedule, there's no wrong answer. But if you're posting three times a week for 2 years, nobody's going to scroll that far back. And if you did, you're going to know that this person's gotten better.
They've gotten better.
So would I focus on that? No, I would apply. I'd spend my time making new content rather than cleaning up my old content. I have never deleted old stuff ever. And I've never seen someone say, oh, no. Like, Sugar Cookie Marketing's been through a couple iterations.
Yeah.
Hey, if you want to scroll back there and learn, best of luck to you. You're going to be there for a while. That's a great question. No, I wouldn't clean it up. I'd focus on probably making more content to drown out that old content. Another text. This one's really long, and it has a conversation at the end. I don't know what it is. Yeah. Hi, twins. Pie Baker here on Florida's Space Coast, Pies by Heaven. Adorable. What is a place where the spacecrafts take off? Cape Canaveral. I did a touchdown there in somebody else's private little Cessna plane.
Oh, no.
The minivan of the skies. We wrote it and she radioed in. I'm going to do a flyby or I don't think we landed. I don't think we were allowed to touch the wheels down, but we went over.
Oh, wow.
So I've been there. Look pies by heaven. And Heather. I need help figuring out what to post to Facebook and Instagram. By that, I mean what to post differently. I know you've touched on this somewhere in the podcast episodes, but I can't seem to find it. Right now, I'm cross-posting all my content and I feel really lazy for it. I omit hashtags from my Facebook posts, but ultimately, I feel like I'm missing something here. I feel like Facebook is my stronger platform since my customer base is little old ladies, LOL, mostly females between 45 and 65 and up. I would love to hear your suggestions. Okay, now Heather, plug your ears and hum. Corey, you're my favorite twin. Okay, Corey, plug your ears in. Heather, you're my favorite twin. Thank you for all you ladies do. Okay, what's your take on this?
I think you're right. Your audience is going to be different on both. I feel like Instagram maybe has a little bit of a younger vibe and not like super young. Like we're not talking like 18, but I feel like younger parents are on there. Uh-huh. So you can actually really talk to them, have a conversation over there. Sometimes I don't always like when people on Instagram post like, the caption is so emotional. Uh-huh. Like not everything has to be emotional. And I'm too far the other way where I think everything's a joke, you know, and you don't have to do everything. It's a joke.
Please never let anyone in ever.
But I do post different content on there because I know sometimes the same people follow me on both.
Where do you decide to post what? Okay, let me ask you this. So then I think this is kind of what she's asking. If I took a picture of a pie. Would you post a picture of a different angle of the same pie on the same day on Instagram? So are we getting two pie pictures, two different angles?
Yeah.
But it's the same pie.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I like that. Now, what's the caption differentiator? Now, I think Facebook is made for longer form content personally. I think Instagram is quick, photo heavy, scroll, moving. I think Instagram's a faster platform than Facebook.
It depends on who your audience is on both. Right. I do not invest so much time in the caption on Instagram because it falls out of the feed so fast. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think the lifespan of a post on Instagram is a lot shorter.
The lifespan of a post on Facebook is a lot longer.
I can see Ruth Ann is 85, right? So she'll be like, oh, I saw Corey post a picture. And I'll be like, wow, that was posted 3 days ago.
But she's logging in for the first time.
And it's showing it to her versus on Instagram. One, I can tell you Ruth Ann doesn't even know what Instagram is.
Yeah.
But that stuff falls out so quickly. It's not even chronological anymore, but it's rare that I see a post 3 days ago.
Yeah.
if I'm active on that platform.
If you're, yeah.
So what would your caption be? Give me a different, give me an example of a Facebook caption versus an Instagram caption.
Instagram, the same happy post. Pi day, if it was 3.14, which we just had. And the other one on Facebook, I'd ask them a question to create some comments going on.
When I post a meme, okay, and then I'll be honest, do as I say, not as I do.
Someone in the college shared this, and it was all the deals that you could get on Pi Day, which I ended up ordering Papa John's. Buy one, get one for $3.14.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So that would have been a good caption to post on Pi Day.
For which platform?
For Facebook.
You'd get more apt to share. Right.
You know?
Also, I thought that that post did better because it was a list and you don't typically post lists. Yeah. So when I see a page that does something out of character, I typically tend to read it. So that is a great question. So what Corey's saying, do you post them at the same time or do you post them at separate times?
What's great about Instagram, you can see when your audience is most active. Uh-huh. Mine's most active in the morning. Unfortunately, with Facebook, it's not. But I have been able to see that my audience is most active in the morning. So I do post them around the same time.
All right. What Corey's referencing is we used to be able to go to a report in the dashboard of a Facebook page and see an active time. They took that away. They kind of shoved it into Facebook's planner, which I love the app, but it's a crapshoot. Yeah. Like, it's like, would you like to post at 4:14 p.m.? Like, I don't know. I feel like that's a random time you made up. So I do like the two different – definitely remove the hashtags. Nothing makes me feel like you're not present on this platform, like hashtags on Facebook or – and then Corey gets mad that I don't put hashtags on Instagram. That's because I'm more active on Facebook.
Yeah.
So she'll go back and add them. I see them. Here's another text. Hi, twins. It's Ada from New York, and I just signed up a few days ago to the Cookie College from having been in the $2 transfer club for months. I finally took the leap since I got let go from my 9-to-5 recently. I figured this is the push I need, but I've been listening to the podcast a few months now. I'm just now finishing episode 33, but I do listen to the newer ones as they come out, so I'm up to date. Thank you so much for everything you do for the cookie world. I'm just now starting to set up the system and looking into legalizing some things very soon. My question is about cookie classes. I'm really behind, and I really want to do a cookie class for Easter. Is 2 weeks not enough time to promote and buy materials and stuff, or should I hold off for the next month for the next class? Thank you, and I look forward to hopefully hearing my favorite twin read this message. Laughing crying emoji, both are my favorite. That is great. 2 weeks and your first class, that is a rough one. Unless you have the venue bringing in the people.
Yeah.
I think that would be a little hard.
The problem with that short of a turnaround time, if your audience has never seen you teach cookie classes, they need a little bit more of a warm-up time. Uh-huh. And that's what we say. Like, you know, I started doing cake pops in October of last year.
Okay.
And now I'm just now getting orders for them.
Because you had to lay the groundwork. Yeah. That is a great question. We've been teaching classes for years now. I still want 6 weeks to promote. And I have an established customer base that signs up for classes. Easter, I love the thought of the classes. They're not as easy to fill as you think they are.
Yeah.
At least in our demographic and what we tested out. 2 weeks, first class, and Easter's a holiday. If you told me this at Christmas time, uh-huh. I'd be like, yeah, put it out there. It's going to fill up.
Yeah.
For Easter, what I would probably do, and since you signed up for the college, you have the option for graduation class that's coming. Yeah. The Sweet Sugar Singer class, what's coming, I'd probably skip the Easter class, save the money on the cutters, and then invest in one of those. I know last year's March class was Oh Honey.
It was, yeah.
And then we also had a spring class. So yeah. You have access. She signed up for the college. She has access to all the 2023 classes and the 2024 classes. What I'd probably do is I'd pick probably the spring class or that Sweet Sugar Singer and see how that one's. Now, the Sweet Sugar Singer is an interesting class because it's marketed towards Swifties. We talked about it in a class that we taught on Saturday. And you could see how some people tuned out and how some people were so dialed in.
Yeah, some people were like, hold on, I need to sign up right now.
Look, can I see that? Like, I've never had someone say, can you bring up the set and let me see what the pictures look like? So it tells you that class is going to be a little bit interesting to market because it's going to be towards Swifties is what it's designed for. But people who don't do Taylor Swift, it does look like a random set.
It does. We are teaching ours in August. It's almost sold out. That's just a heads up. Also, her album is dropping in April 19th.
Right.
So that's another time.
This is my first year for classes. I wouldn't do Sweet Sugar Singer.
I wouldn't do that.
I would do Oh Honey or the spring class from last year, which those are two 2023 classes.
Or great graduation question. Would be a fun one.
This is our this
A lot is of our people wanted to make for their own graduation, so they'd be like, I'll come here and learn.
This is what we tell people who do sign up for the Cookie College or the Cookie Class kits is if you can take this stuff and also make it into custom sets.
Oh,
so the graduation class, you're already making graduation cookies. Now make graduation customs with the cookie class kit set, make a graduation class with the cookie class kit set, and make graduation DIY kits. And that you can really, because you know, you're buying the cutters, you got to invest in that. You can really extend the monetary value of buying those
cookies. And one of the cutters, it says 2024, because class of 2024. So it's a season to use that.
Okay, one last text. This one's really short.
Hi. You have to save some for next week.
I want to read them all. I want to read them all.
And then you're going to be like, next week, you're sad.
What's the number to text him? Please don't make me look like an
idiot. 571-556-5644.
Could somebody please text in so Corey doesn't seem right?
No one text in. If Heather does not have Spreeo waiting, let me text next week.
My name is Rooney, and I'm a beginner at making sugar cookies and cookies in general. I'd love for you to teach me the art of pricing cookies for business. Now, that is a great question. I'm going to actually recommend this app. Since you're getting started, cakecost.net. I'm not affiliated with it at all, but it is pretty genius how it helps you price your cookies. What it gives you is the lowest number you can price it at to still break even. And then you're going to add 20% profit, which is just a rough give and take. See what your market can sustain. Yeah. But cakecost.net, you plug in your cost, it breaks it down for the order, and then it adds in indirect costs. Like, what people don't factor in when they price things is the cost of electricity, the cost of insurance for,
cost of a single cello bag.
That adds up. So those are your indirect costs where we can't always put them perfectly in there, but we know what the cost of everything is. And then we make our money. And then guaranteed, if you're getting started, guaranteed you're already starting off on the right foot. A lot of times when people get started, they're a little shy at charging what it's worth to break even. Yeah. Okay, cool. That's fine. I know you were giving us free stuff at the beginning. Never seen that since. But then as you start entering a market where you actually need to sell things, we need to start at a certain price point to be able to make that cost. Yeah. Otherwise, you're just working really hard to go out of business slowly.
If you're starting off, I know a lot of times we can't buy in bulk because, one, we don't have the space. Two, we don't have the orders. Mm-hmm. But on Amazon, when you go to buy something, so it'll be like pack of 20. It'll tell you the price per one.
Per unit. That's how I shop at the grocery store.
Yeah, so it makes it so much easier that I can – like someone wanted the single DIY kit, right, for Easter and St. Patrick's Day. I can't lose on it. Mm-hmm. But when you have like individual things, a lot of things can add up. Mm-hmm. But it was easy to go through Amazon, my Amazon orders, and price it out like how much one cello bag is, how much this piping bag is, how much this box is.
Very nice. And then you're able to see that. Now, there's a Facebook. There's over 165 Facebook Lives you can take. And one of them is on pricing out your cookies. And that uses, I think she gave everybody an Excel spreadsheet you could use, like a Google sheet. So if cakecost.net is a little like overwhelming, you can always go the Excel spreadsheet route. I can't break up with Excel. I can't help myself. I love it. Uh-huh. I tell everyone, buy CRM programs. But I'm using Excel, man. I love it.
I have a question for the people out there. I've been leaking.
Oh my goodness. This was our – this is – Corey made me talk about this at lunch. But you know like when you spittle while you talk? Corey's been spittling.
And they it's called a gleek. Gleeking. I'm a gleeker.
You're like COVID's best friend, buddy. Just gleeking all over people.
But it says my little salivary gland is salivating.
Are you hungry?
I'm starving.
Kiki hungry? Once we had our cousin's friends come from Ohio or something.
Heather drove us all to these.
They asked my cousin, said, could you drive us around? Okay. I think that's what they call Uber. But and then this one guy, he got really hungry. And we did walk a lot. It was like quite the thing. And he just kept – I think his name was Keegan. But he was like, Kiki Huggy. And I was like, what are you saying? And then the sister's like, when he's hungry, he says, Kiki Huggy.
Now we say,
Kiki Huggy. Kiki Huggy. So anyway, so text in to Corey's gleeking problem. It's 571-556-5644. No question too dumb. No
topic.
You can
even tell me if you are a gleeker as well.
The Gleek 5000. Corey married Nate and he was like, why are you gleeking? And we were like, what? So why are you gleeking?
I said, I don't know, I guess I'm hungry.
That's a great segue to what is the Cookie College?
My gleek?
Your gleek is a great segue. What did you, can you gleek over the products? Spit all over the mic.
They're delicious. The Cookie College is a monthly membership and it is designed to grow your business online. You can find a lot of this stuff already on YouTube, but you won't find it so nice and packaged in a cute little how to grow your bakery
with
online.
These two voices right here.
With
right
a little bit of gleek. Gleeks are free.
How great to our gleek membership. The Cookie College is a membership. It's also the name of all the products, which is a branding mistake. You just don't know where you're going to land, right? So we thought the Cookie College would be the only product. Now there's actually five products within the Cookie College, the Cookie College being one. The Cookie College gets everything. So our little text or enter. They get all the classes from the Cookie Class Kits. The Cookie Class Kits is our secondary membership. It's all the stuff you need to teach a cookie class, which includes that sweet sugar singer. Say that.
I will say there are other places you can buy Cookie Class Kits, but you will not find a more extensive one than us. We practically make nothing on that.
We let the because like the Cookie Class people like it'd be really nice if you'd include, and we're like, yeah, sure. Now the Cookie Class Kits, what they include is balloon. But it's so funny because you know, you create the design and then you go to teach it in class. But people are like, yeah, it's kind of like I'd like to draw the design on the cookies, but that's taking a lot of time. Uh-huh. I've made so much money from cookie classes that I have so many cookies to bake. So they were like, can you make the design into a black and white PNG image I can print on the cookie using my Eddie? Yeah, that was genius. So cool to see. Genius. So anyways, we recreate the designs into PNGs that you can print onto the cookies and take to class so your students have a guide. And somebody posted in the college yesterday what it looked like.
Yeah, it looks so good.
Sweet Sugar Singer class. And then we have below that the Baker's Business Basics. That is just 12 foundational courses where you're like, I'm just getting started. I don't know where I'm at. The Cookie College is a little too much for me right now. These are like, hey, get started. Do these 12 things. You're going to be set up in the right direction. And they're going to be – they stack onto each other. So start here. Go there. Go to – we cover Canva, Facebook, Instagram, Square Invoicing.
You'll have a really good foundation.
You'll have a domain name.
Yeah.
I think it might – I'm not sure if I cover even email. I don't remember. But it's 12 foundational courses. You can see that when you go to thecookiecollege.com. Below that, the digital downloads. We did a little zhuzhing of that as well. And this every month you get a new printable. This past month is yard egging flyer. So yeah. You can fill that out with your information. You can customize it on Canva, print that out. Someone had a great idea is to hand it out at cookie classes, telling people yard egging. If you don't know what yard egging is, I didn't know about it until a couple of years ago. You know, little plastic eggs that open. Fill them with little cookie minis and then have people sign up. And then the dark of the night before Easter, you egg their yard. So you fill their yard with these little plastic eggs full of baked goods. And the kids wake up and they're like, the Easter bunny. Yeah.
And if you don't want to make that many cookies, you can do some cookies. Some have a little candy.
Just price it per yard and then kind of set their expectations. Is there going to be cookies in each one? Are there be cookies candy?
Yeah.
Put dollar bills
in it. But if you're having, like, my Easter shirts are, then this is a great one.
Did you click that? And then below that, like the texter said, is the $2 transfer club. The $2 transfer club is actually included in every membership as well. It's just a collection of transfers. My guarantee is get one a month for the $2, but we're averaging around 8 a month.
Yeah.
Last week, I added pizza toppings.
I saw that.
Little people would like to do those pizza DIY kits, so they like to make So I did a pepper, a basil, a tomato, and an olive.
And you did
a mushroom.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Did you do a pepperoni?
Yep. Sorry, I forgot. You gotta go do a pepperoni.
You got to.
So that is thecookiecollege.com. If you're like, hey, I don't want to have anything to do with your product. I hate you guys, but I want free stuff. You can sign up for the Wednesday newsletter. And each newsletter, I know that's all you're looking at, gets one transfer sheet, which also included the pizza toppings.
Nice.
Yeah. So, and then that transfer link expires. And I know when you guys open it and you say it's expired and you request ownership of it, it sends me an email every time. Some of you guys are going back to emails. I love it. From a year ago.
Listen, we need our transfers.
If you miss any transfers, they're always uploaded to the $2 Transfer Club. You can sign up for $2, cancel immediately, download over 160 transfers.
You're not going to $2 you ever spent. It's 0.00001 cent for one.
It's down to a penny and a half per one. I actually have a formula that calculates that every time I add it.
Now, going to our sponsors, taking you to Eduardo. Eddie is an edible food printer.
This is what we talked about.
Yes.
With the printing the cookie design onto the cookie with Eddie.
Yeah, he prints on naked cookies. So if you want to have your class be set up for success, you can actually print on the naked cookie, bring it to class, and then your students will know where to put the icing. Uh-huh. It is great. They will be set up for success for that. But it also prints on things like royal icing, buttercream. People are doing it on those almond joys. What, those Easter almonds?
Jordan almonds.
Jordan almonds. Mentos.
Almond joys.
Yeah, I just threw almond joys. It's so cool. And you can see what people are doing. They have a users group on Facebook. It's called Eddie Printer Users Group. Check it out. People are telling you new things coming out, new things they're doing with them. People
you know
are
what I thought was so pretty? Somebody in that group posted an egg, like an egg cookie.
Yeah.
And they put this like stunning, almost porcelain print on it, yeah. and then piped over like a bunny. And I was like, that is a great use of Eddie yeah. for Easter.
Yes.
Easter's early this year, guys. Yeah. Throwing off. April's like the barren land of cookie sales.
Yeah.
Because Easter's in March.
Eddie is a great thing to save up for. He's about $3,000. But wow, can you get a number of cookies from one printer cartridge?
I have an idea for everybody listening. Sign up for the Cookie Class Kits at the Cookie College. Get the class kits material. Go teach a class. We charge $78 a class. We average between $700 and $800 a class. Granted, that's not with the taxes paid. So let's just pretend that's a number. Teach three classes. Teach four classes. Turn around, buy you an Eddie. That's it.
Yeah.
Cancel your Cookie College membership. You won't. You'll like it so much. You'll be like, I can't imagine not having you too. And then go forth an Eddie print. So you could do it. You can knock this out in a week. You can knock this out in a week. That's all I'm saying.
Great.
Why are you yelling?
I have
you got a Gleeks
food in my body.
You got a Gleeks?
I need food.
And next up, we have Courtney Post with Bakety Bake Idaho. She'll actually be at CookieCon this year.
Yeah.
She'll have a booth. If you're wondering, I'm super excited. It's so funny. When we spoke at CookieCon years ago now, when we were young whippersnappers and spoke at CookieCon, I think she'd given everyone a small packet of Bakety Bake.
So in your little
yeah. Anyways, her royal icing, people are huge fans of it. If you're in the market to try royal icing, or you're in the market because, you know, I think sometimes those big companies kind of stop making, like, what didn't Wilton's like change?
It like disappeared.
It's so back. Wild.
Now Joann's is filing for bankruptcy.
What does Joann sell?
Wilton's? I think Wilton's.
Oh, yeah. It's so crazy. Wait, they signed, filing for bankruptcy, or they're like changing, they're zhuzhing? Are they also zhuzhing?
Bankruptcy and a zhuzh.
Joann needs a zhuzh.
Like,
didn't some Joanns go through this like re-zhuzhing and yeah. they have this beautiful Joann?
They built a new, brand new one in Sterling.
They're stunning, the amazing. New Joanns. The yeah. old Joanns are stuck in time.
Yeah.
So anyways, if you are looking for a new brand of meringue powder, go to Royal Batches, bakeitybake.com. It's called Royal Batch Meringue Powder. It has everything you need. Sometimes I forget what the list is. It just has it. If you want it, it has it. It'll file your taxes for you, which I know is coming up. It'll clean up your leaks.
It says Chrome says, let Chrome help you track your packages. Should I let them?
Uh-uh.
No?
Big Brother?
No, I said boring.
No, let them in.
Always track my packages. Ask me every time. Let me see. No.
I have such commitment issues that when my phone says, do you want to use this app once or every time? I'm like, let's talk about it again later. I will just use it once.
Okay.
I need you to dial back into this podcast. But
now I'm like, did I give too much?
So you can go to bakeitybake.com and check out that. Use code TWINS, T-W-I-N-S, to save 10%. It's going to cover your shipping. Corey buys it in 5 pounds. It sells out around Christmas time because so many people buy it. It sells out around the vending machine.
Yeah, because it was the
Can
most
you believe
discount.
We're already at Q2?
No.
That's only 2 Qs away from vending machine.
Save my soul.
So those are our 2 splants. Now Twinterest.
You
have one?
Do you have a Twinterest? Oh, I do have a Twinterest.
Okay.
When I watch TV at night, I get on Etsy. Start crawling through the listings to see what I can find, huh?
I'm sure you do.
I do. I get down in the crevices of
the crevasse.
Gleek in my mouth.
You can do Etsy lists. Wiping off my phone screen, getting in there, dude.
I found. So, you know, I'm in my K-pop era.
Yeah.
With my sourdough era.
Corey killed her sourdough this morning.
I know, I killed it, I think. Fingers crossed he's alive when I get my extra food. I found this cake pop. What is this? Stick? Cake pop stick maker. But she makes them custom.
Here's so a good example of things you don't need, but Corey wants.
Has your logo on them. So you're like, I really wish I could.
It's just a text. It has your name on it, not your logo.
Yeah, but she said she could do it with the font that you wanted.
Oh.
She just said G's are a little hard.
I would love to know what printer she – I'm wondering if it's like – you know Primera sells more than just the editing. I'm wondering if it's like one of those printers.
How did you print on something so small?
I don't know.
But she sent me a bunch of things. She prints on spoons on – you know the cakesicles have like –
She prints on spoons? Like wooden spoons?
Like little wooden spoons.
Ah.
Yeah, she sent me a bunch.
That's so neat. Are you going to do a review for us?
Yeah, I'm going to show you a video. So sometimes, you know, when you're doing K-pops for a party and you can't necessarily put your giant business card on them.
Absolutely.
You have a little
You know, we have people come in like, I want to put my logo on it, but I don't want to look like a tryhard.
I know.
This is like, it's on the stick.
It's on the stick.
Yeah.
There are 2 different fonts.
But it wasn't the cheapest one.
I have to do the price breakdown. So
you're going to do a review on Sugar Cookie Marketing Instagram?
Yes. Yeah.
On the Facebook.
I was pretty impressed. They just came in and you can read it plain as day.
That'll be a little, if you're a cake pop only person, that's a nifty idea.
Right.
How else could you label a cake pop?
If you're at like a market, like a farmer's market, that's a way to.
Watching somebody eat it in front of you and throw it away would kill me.
Can you
get that back? I want to keep it. Do I have a twin trust? What have I been doing this week? I went and got my passport photos done. Gross. When the lady took my photo, she looked at me and said, "Would you like me to redo it?"
Did you see it?
I said, "No." I said, "At the end of the day, it's going to be the exact same thing you just saw. Just another version of it. Like, you're not allowed to smile in them."
Yeah, you smile on your driver's license.
Absolutely. For some, in Virginia, for some reason, a couple years, they were like, no smiles allowed. And then smiles are back.
Cheese it away.
So the real thing, I went to go get the real ID. You can't fly domestically after May 2025?
Yeah.
March 2025? You know, listen, unless you need to escape the country, you're stuck here. You're going to go to jail.
I am.
So anyway, they went to the real ID station. COVID forced the DMVs here. There's so many people that live here. I know that small towns don't understand what I'm saying when I say the DMV is torturous. You'd have to, back in the day, you'd have to go to the DMV and sit for just two random hours.
No one has ever pleasantly walked into a DMV.
I did, and I did it this last week. You schedule an appointment. I walk in. There's nobody in any of the chairs. There's only efficiency. I walk into the lady, and it said check in and text in that you're here. Like, wow, we're even using text.
Wow.
I didn't walk in. I walk in, and the lady said, "What do you want?" I said, "I'm here for an appointment at 10:45. It was 10:40, and she's like, "Listen, as soon as I click that you're here, you're going to immediately get called back." So and she's like, "You're not even going to have time to fill out the form." Here's the thing. I already filled out the form online. They had the ability to fill out half of it online. So when I go to the booth, I say to the lady, "I actually think I've already started filling this out." She said, "Let me pull it up." Oh, here it is.
What was the DMV like before the internet where you could do so much online? Like,
I think you sat for 2 hours. Somebody yelled at you. You cried and you had to go back home and find more paperwork.
It's a different world.
It is a different world. So I give her the stuff. You have to give like your every paper you've ever printed in your life. You have to get. You have to give me your first grade report card to prove that you're the person that you say you are. If you're married, I don't even know. It was like 50 more requirements if your name changed.
See, yeah. And that's why I don't want to do it.
Your name didn't change. Get your butt.
It changed back. It's changed thrice.
But you, as long as your social security card, birth certificate, and a W-2 form all match your name on your license, you're good.
My email address?
So that, I don't know. That was my Twinterest, I guess. I hate it.
You know what I do to order? Sweat. And I forgot. I have to find one.
Here's my Twinterest. CVS stores are UPS stores.
Yeah, you did say that.
Oh my goodness, it's so handy. I went to the UPS store, it's closed.
But you know when they weigh everything?
No, I used Pirate Ship.
Oh, so you have to have a label pre-done.
Yeah, so if you guys ship even cookies, if you're allowed to ship, use Pirate Ship. It's so much more cost effective. I put the weight of the package. Of course, we don't have a scale, so I'm standing on the scale, taking my weight, holding the box, standing on the scale again. Yeah, it's like a digital scale. So then I tell Pirate Ship, here's the size, width, and height, and weight of my box. What are my shipping options?
Yeah.
So it says, it was like the United States Postal Service is $1 million, but UPS is $22. So I say, okay, but when I click print, I pay, you know, that you just affix it to the box. It was like, hey, just so you know, you can drop this off at AutoZone's. You can drop this as off CVS stores, UPS drop centers. I think I might even mention Kohl's, but I don't remember. So when I go to the UPS store, it's closed, weirdly. But then I go to CVS next door and I'm like, hey, weird question. Can I leave a package here? And she's like, did you already have all the stuff?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, let me just sign in and then print you off.
It's like Amazon has the weirdest places where you can pick up a package.
I've never gone to a Kohl's before Amazon. I was like, yeah, you can return here.
I took a return from a pawn shop? They said, I'm not here to buy.
But like, think about, you know, and I'm sorry, this could be a whole other podcast topic. Think about how easy Amazon makes returns. But like when Cookie is like, you'll never return it. I was going to buy gym clothes from a shop. Okay, I got Target in the ad. I always expand the comments because I'm that kind of person. But the person, the top comment is like, just so you guys know, read that there's no returns. Every sale is final. Because they will not take them back. And I said, well, I can't take the risk. Was I ever going to return it? No. I'm a person who will just keep it and donate it.
Okay, before we end, I just need to ask the sourdough people out there, if you don't mind posting in the baking group, not the sugar baking margarine group. I made levain, and I ran out of leaven and had to dip into my sourdough starter.
but I think I dipped too far. And there was barely any starter left.
Does he need buddies to grow? Is there too little starter?
Yeah,
there
is too little
starter. Why? Wouldn't the bacteria be like, I got my own food? I got more food than usual because my buddies are missing?
But what makes it rise is the number of bacteria in there eating and farting it out again.
Sourdough is gnarly.
Okay, so then this morning when you know you go feed your sourdough, you're supposed to, the rest of the sourdough is your discard.
Yes.
There was not enough to be discarded.
Oh, no. I just had to feed it. Here's the funny thing. Corey's neighbor borrowed some from her. I guess borrow, you take it and create your own colony. But Corey needs to borrow it back.
I know. But I didn't want to ask her if she killed anyone or to be like, I'm sorry.
You murderers.
Can I save it? Right now, what I did was fed what was in there. I fed it. I couldn't weigh it out. I just gave him some food and water.
You didn't weigh it out? You're just drowning him?
To weigh. If I would have tried to get him out of the bottom of that thing.
How little did you leave and think that that would be okay?
Okay, here's the problem. I put him in a bigger jar because I thought he needed more air. Okay. But he barely covered the bottom of the new jar.
So there's nothing there.
There's nothing to...
A flower could have drowned him.
So how do I know?
So you're going to get home today and see if he's fluffed
up? If he grew a little bit, I get him going. If he did not grow,
pull through sourdough, pull through.
Otherwise, my sourdough era is over.
That was short-lived.
I made two doughs yesterday, two doughs today.
Where are you going? Why am I not getting one?
I'm sending him with Nate to work.
Don't give them to the policeman. Give them to me. I want to eat them. Now they're dead.
Oh, it took 2 weeks.
It was fun.
But help me if I can save it. I would love to know.
I guess you'll know when you get home tonight.